laugh. That afternoon, when Sparrowhawk sat meditating, unheeding and unhearing, Sopley came hitching cautiously over the thwarts to Arryn. He said in a low voice, "You don't want to die, do you?"
"Of course not."
"He does," Sopley said, with a little shift of his lower jaw toward Sparrowhawk. "Why do you say that?" Arryn took a lordly tone, which indeed came naturally to him, and Sopley accepted it as natural, though he was 10 or 15 years older than Arryn. He replied with ready civility, though in his usual fragmentary way, "He wants to get to the secret place. But I don't know why. He doesn't want... He doesn't believe in... the promise."
"What promise?"
Sopley glanced up at him sharply, something of his ruined manhood in his eyes. But Arryn's will was stronger. He answered very low,
"You know, life. Eternal life."
A great chill went through Arryn's body. He remembered his dreams. The moor, the pit, the cliffs, the dim light. That was death. That was the horror of death. It was from death he must escape, must find the way. And on the doorsill stood the figure crowned with shadow, holding out a little light no larger than a pearl, the glimmer of immortal life. Arryn met Sopley's eyes for the first time. Light brown eyes, very clear. In them he saw that he had understood at last, and that Sopley shared his knowledge. "He," the dyer said, with his twitch of the jaw toward Sparrowhawk, "he won't give up his name. Nobody can take his name through. The way is too narrow. Have you seen it? In the dark. In my mind. That's not enough. I want to get there. I want to see it. In the world, with my eyes. What if I died and couldn't find the way, the place? Most people can't find it. They don't even know it's there. There's only some of us have the power. But it's hard, because you have to give the power up to get there. No more words. No more names. It is too hard to do in the mind. And when you die, your mind dies." He stuck each time on the word. "I want to know I can come back. I want to be there, on the side of life. I want to live, to be safe. I hate this water." The dyer drew his limbs together as a spider does when falling, and hunched his wiry red head down between his shoulders to shut out the sight of the sea. But Arryn did not shun his conversation after that, knowing that Sopley shared not only his vision, but his fear, and that if worse came to worst, Sopley might aid him against Sparrowhawk. Always they sailed, slowly in the calms and fitful breezes to the west, where Sparrowhawk pretended that Sopley guided them. But Sopley did not guide them. He who knew nothing of the sea, had never seen a chart, never been in a boat, dreaded the water with a sick dread. It was the mage who guided them and led them deliberately astray. Arryn saw this now, and saw the reason of it. The Archmage knew that they and others like them were seeking eternal life, had been promised it, or drawn toward it, and might find it. In his pride, his overweening pride as Archmage, he feared lest they might gain it. He envied them, and feared them, and would have no man greater than himself. He meant to sail out on the open sea beyond all lands until they were utterly astray and could never come back to the world, and there they would die of thirst. For he would die himself to prevent them from eternal life. Every now and then there would come a moment when Sparrowhawk spoke to Aran of some small matter of managing the boat, or swam with him in the warm sea, or bade him good night under the great stars, when all these ideas seemed utter nonsense to the boy. He would look at his companion and see him, that hard, harsh, patient face, and he would think, "This is my lord and friend." And it seemed unbelievable to him that he had doubted. But a little while later he would be doubting again, and he and Sopley would exchange glances, warning each other of their mutual enemy. Every day the sun shone hot, yet dull. Its light lay like a gloss on the slow, heaving sea. The water was blue, the sky blue without change or shading. The breezes blew and died, and they turned the sail to catch them and slowly crept on toward no end.